We will be mostly in Hebrews chapter 7 today. And so if you would turn there, you can follow along. Hebrews chapter 7. As we consider the interceding Savior, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that when he finished the work, he ascended into heaven and sat down by your right hand. But he's busy there, interceding for us. Help us to appreciate today a little more the value of that work that Christ is doing for us even now. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Bear with me as I give a little bit more history, as I started last week with a little history of our church. I related how North Hills Bible Church had come out of the Churches of God of North America back in 1939. I actually grew up in that same denomination. It was a denomination that was founded way back in the middle 1800s by a man named John Weinbrenner. He was a minister in the Reformed Church and decided he wasn't a Calvinist, he was an Arminian. So he left the denomination and started the Churches of God, and they called themselves the Churches of God of North America. In the 1950s and 1960s, a number of young men in those churches in Maryland, Northern Virginia, did not want to go all the way to Ohio to the denomination seminary, and so they started commuting to Washington Bible College, where they were promptly taught sound doctrine, including eternal security. Upon graduation, they went back and started pastoring a number of these churches. To make a long story short, in 1966, 27 of those churches departed from the Churches of God of North America and started what they called the Fellowship of Bible Churches. Some of you might have heard of those. I went to summer camps, youth conferences as a teenager, and was very much influenced by these young pastors. And somehow my entire family believed in eternal security in spite of being in that denomination, my parents, for many years. In fact, my grandparents continued in that denomination. But when those 27 churches departed from the denomination, the church we were attending in Frederick, Maryland, did not. So we left that church and started going to another church 16 miles away that did depart. There was a huge controversy in the denomination over this matter of once saved, always saved, as if that was some horrible, horrible thing. But there are numerous biblical reasons for believing in eternal security. We addressed this last week in the matter of Jesus sitting down after he had finished the work. And today I want to talk to you about what he is doing while he is sitting on that chair. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Speaking of the Old Testament priests and the Levitical priesthood, especially in reference to the high priests, who were the ones responsible for going into the Holy of Holies once each year to make an atonement. We covered that word last week, on behalf of the people and on behalf of himself. But they couldn't continue because they kept dying. Duh. It's appointed unto man once to die. And so when one died, another had to take their place. Verse 28 says, "For the law maketh men high priests. So we're informed that these Old Testament priests were made priests by the law. The law is what declared them to be priests, because in the law, God had prescribed for the descendants of Levi, and in particular, the descendants of Aaron, who was a descendant of Levi, to be the priests. Now, all these priests were flawed in some way. It says in verse 28, "For the law maketh many men high priests, which have infirmity." And I believe in the context that this particular infirmity, which means a weakness, is that, regarding verse 23, that they died. They could not continue because they died. So back up to verse 11 in the chapter. And we see that there is a change in the priesthood from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it says in verse 11, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood," those priests we've been talking about, for under it the people received the law, "what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek?" If what the priests in the Old Testament had done was enough, why do we need a new kind of priesthood? Not a Levitical priesthood, now a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 12, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity a change also of the law." The new priest, Jesus Christ, comes from the tribe of Judah, not Levi. Verse 13, "For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, not Levi. The law prescribed that only the descendants of Levi were to be the priests. But now we have a man who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who comes not from Levi, but from Judah, another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar." This was never heard of. Verse 14, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood." According to the law, the priesthood belonged exclusively to the tribe of Levi, and in particular, exclusively to the descendants of Aaron. Once the Levitical priesthood was established, no unauthorized person was permitted to offer sacrifices to the Lord. It was exclusive to priests and prophets. Now, I think we had Meg mention, I don't know whether it was on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, prior to the law being established, the heads of households had the privilege of offering sacrifices, for example, Abraham. But once the law was established, only the prescribed by law priests of the tribe of Levi or prophets called by God had the right to offer sacrifices. Holding your place there in Hebrews chapter 7, go briefly over to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we see that King Saul violated this and got in trouble for it. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 8, "And he," that is Saul, "tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he, what tribe was Saul from? Benjamin. That's not the same as Levi, is it? No. And has the law already been in place for some time? Yes. But he, Saul, king of the tribe of Benjamin, offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Samuel said in verse 11, "What hast thou done?" Drop down to verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." But that's not going to happen now. With the change of priesthoods for the New Testament, however, Jesus, who is not of the tribe of Levi, is authorized to offer sacrifices, even though he's from the tribe of Judah. Because Hebrews, back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus is made a priest in a different way than the Old Testament priests were. The Old Testament priests were made to be priests by the law. But here in verse 21 it says, "For those priests were made without an oath, but this Jesus, with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, the effect of being made a priest by an oath rather than by the law was that Jesus' priesthood would be forever. Verse 28. Chapter 7, verse 28, "For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity," they kept dying, "but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forever." The Old Testament priesthood was of the tribe of Levi, but the New Testament priesthood of Jesus Christ was after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, according to Scripture, is of a higher rank than Levi. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 5. "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law." So one of the things that the Old Testament priests could do was they could receive tithes, take tithes. The Levites could do that. Verse 17 in the chapter, "He testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Verse 6 of the chapter, "He whose descent is not counted from them," Melchizedek did not come from Abraham, "received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is better, is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes." You know who that's talking about? It's talking about the Levitical priests. Okay, we've established that. "But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." If you recall, and we won't go to the passage of Scripture, but after some battle in which Abraham was successful, he met with the king of Salem, who was Melchizedek, who was also the high priest of God. This was before the Levitical priesthood was established. And Abraham paid tithes of everything that he had gained from the course of this battle, and he paid them to Melchizedek. Well, Levi wasn't born yet, but in the effect was, because Abraham was a, grandfather or great-grandfather, somewhere along there, of Levi, the effect is that Levi is paying tithes. So somebody pays tithes to Levi, but Levi pays tithes to someone else. That means that other person is of higher rank than Levi. That's the argument that Scripture is making. Melchizedek is of a higher order than Levi. And if Jesus is, according to verse 17, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus is of higher rank than the Levitical priesthood. Scripture making that point. That's why we're emphasizing it. Now, according to verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 7, remember as we discussed it last week, this just a brief review, that was in verse chapter 10, but this is in chapter 7. The Old Testament law didn't make anybody perfect. Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, but it wasn't, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Well, you do need another priesthood because the Old Testament priesthood didn't accomplish anything. Verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 7. This new order of priesthood needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. That's what the high priest had to do in the Old Testament. You know, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he had to offer a sacrifice for himself and then he had to offer a sacrifice for the people. He had to be cleansed, well cleansed, before he could ever offer sacrifice for anybody else because of his own flaws and infirmities. But not this priest. Verse 26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, as God is holy, because he is God. Harmless, possessing nothing that would influence others to do wrong. Undefiled. In him is no darkness. Separate from sinners. Perfect in every way. Did no sin. In him is no sin. He knew no sin. Tempted without sin. And made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for his people. For this he did, how many times last week? How many times? Once. Get that drilled into your thinking. Once. Just once. Verse 28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Instead of offering up sacrifices for himself, he offered himself as a sacrifice. Instead of offering repeated sacrifices, he offered himself once. And as we noted last week with great emphasis, chapter 8, verse 1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the majesty, of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He sat down when he finished the work. Now, these two priesthoods are very different in function. The Levitical priests, chapter 5, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, back just a page. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, these priests were ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, for every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. However, as we note in verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also is compassed with infirmity. These priests fully understand the infirmity of the people because they are just like them. When you have gone through something, you understand so much better what other people who have gone through the same thing have experienced. I have to think about losing my wife. I understand so much better now what that's like than before. We share infirmities. And so it says in verse 3, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sins. Because according to chapter 10, verse 1, that we looked at last week, none of those sacrifices ever made anyone perfect. And in chapter 7, in verse 23, when one priest died, another took his place, and the process continued on and on. But what is different about the priesthood of Jesus Christ? Chapter 7, verse 27, he did not need to offer a sacrifice for himself. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins. He didn't need to do that because he didn't have any. And when he did offer himself, he didn't offer repeated sacrifices. He offered himself once at the end of verse 27, just one time. And after he finished all of that, chapter 8, verse 1, he sat down. And now, we finally come to this. Now, what's he doing now? Is he just sitting there? Biding his time till it's time to come and get us? Just sitting there looking around, enjoying everything he sees, talking to people that come to heaven. Oh, what is that like? I keep trying to imagine what my wife is doing up there. I don't know. Any of the rest of you do that for your loved ones? What are they doing? If Jesus is sitting there on the chair, they could go over and talk to him. Wouldn't that be neat? What's he doing? Verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He can bring our salvation to its full conclusion because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you ever sin? Anybody reached sinless perfection yet? No, I'm not. Do you ever feel bad about it when you realize what you've done? And especially if somebody else sees you. You know, you're in the store. and something happens and you lose your, you ever lose your temper in the store? Anybody? Yeah? Ever lose your temper in the store? And after you blow, you realize other people have seen what you've done. And, oh no, now how am I going to witness to them? And Satan is saying, looky there. And Jesus says to the Father, don't listen to Satan. I've already taken care of that. Verse 24. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me see if I can illustrate this. A group of people go to an attraction expecting to be allowed in for free. When they arrive, they discover that you have to pay to get in. But none of them have enough money to pay to get in. They stop a passerby and say, sir, we did not know you had to pay to get in. Can you help us? And the passerby says, oh, I'd be glad to help. He goes over to the ticket booth and talks to the gatekeeper. But then he comes back to the group and says, I'm sorry, I don't have enough. I can't help you. The group stops another passerby and went through the same process with the same result. And passerby after passerby, no one could help them. Then someone in the group noticed that a man goes to the ticket office, and after an exchange with the gatekeeper, the ticket office was closed. The gatekeeper laughed, and the man sat down by the gate. Many in the group thought that now there was no hope of any of them getting inside because the ticket gate was closed. But one person in the group became curious. The curious man left the group and walked over to the man sitting on a chair by the gate. He talked to the man sitting on the chair, and the man on the chair handed him something, and the curious man went through the gate into the attraction. A guard stopped the curious man and said, you can't go in, you didn't pay. But the man on the chair called after him and said, I paid for him, he has a free pass. The guard looked at the pass and could not object further, letting the curious man to enter. As he walked along the path to the entrance gate, the curious man was stopped several times with the same result. Every time someone objected to his entering, the man on the chair called after him and said, I paid for him. He has a free pass. Others in the group noticed what had happened, and one after another walked over to the man on the chair and received from him a free pass to enter. Each one met with objections, but every time the man on the chair interceded for them, and they were allowed in. However, many in the group remained skeptical and went home without ever talking to the man on the chair. Jesus Christ bought all the tickets for entrance into heaven. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For, on behalf of, whole, the whole thing as opposed to a part of something, world, the entirety of mankind from the first person created to the last. All the tickets into heaven and eternal life are free to all who will receive them from the one who now sits on the chair. You don't have to pay anything. Jesus has already paid it all. Passage into heaven and eternal life is free. You know it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone objects to your freedom to possess eternal life or the privilege to enter into heaven, Jesus will intercede for you every time. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You can't pay enough to get in yourself. No one else can pay enough to get you in. Jesus paid enough for all of us. And he will make sure that everyone understands that forever, as he intercedes for us. Then remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we need not be troubled about anything. You promised to make a place for us. You paid our entrance fee. It's all paid. It's free to us who will come to you in faith and receive you. And you save us to the uttermost. And no one can object because you intercede. There you are on that chair right now, Jesus. Thank you for your intercession. We need it, unfortunately, a whole lot. But you ever live to intercede for us. Thank you. If there's anyone troubled here today about things, comfort them with the knowledge that you already paid for it. And you'll make sure no one can successfully object to your entrance into heaven, because he's there to intercede for you. Comfort hearts today with the assurance of their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.